Wow. Wow. Carl. Let's go. Getting hyped. I'm excited. Hey, if you've been here more than one time, you're part of the family now. And so if you've been here for more than one time, can you put your hands together and welcome the first-time visitors here at the Minneapolis campus? Come on. Incredible. We love you guys. We say this often is you don't have to believe what we believe to belong here. You can come just as you are. And so I don't know what your history is with church or with family or whatever it may be, the mistakes you may have made even today. But church isn't just a place for the healthy. The church is the place for the sick. And so we want you to come in no matter how you're feeling, no matter what you're walking through, and believing that you can find friends here to do life with. You can find family here to do life with. So we love you. If it's your first time here, thanks so much for being here. Hey, we're in a series right now called Reclaim the Table. Is anyone enjoying this series so far? Come on. Reclaim the Table. It's incredible. And it's as simple as it sounds. It's a time for us not to go from thing to thing or from job to job or school to school or whatever it may be. At least in my life, it's so easy to go just be so busy and forget about the people that are in front of my face. And those people are in my life for a reason. And I want to open up my eyes and see those people and be able to sit around a table and not just rush through it, but actually have conversation with those people and just be able to invest in their life and vice versa. And so that's what the series is all about, is Reclaim the Table. And this week, week three, I'm going to talk to you about being thankful at the table, being thankful. But before I do, I just believe that this is the fourth service, and I believe that, yes, it's the fourth message, same message that I'm going to preach, but I believe that God has something new for somebody here at the 5 p.m. service. I believe that the Spirit is God is here, and it's not by my might, it's not by my power, but it's by the Spirit of God that's in this place that's going to speak to somebody's life. And so I want to read first Matthew 26. Speaking of tables, tables isn't something that was just invented a couple years ago. This is something that's been a part of cultures for years. Tables and eating at tables. Matthew 26, it says this. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. Take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. And the title of this message is simple. It's just reclaim your thanks. Reclaim your thanks. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. And I pray right now, it's not by my words, it's not by me being persuasive, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is my prayer right now, that I get out of the way, that I believe that there's people in this place that have been in chains for a long time, and they walk in with those chains. They walk in with fear and depression and family issues and anxiety and whatever it may be. And we're not messing around tonight. We believe the Holy Spirit that you can intervene, but it's not by my words, it's by your words. So right now, I pray that you be with me, allow me just to get out of the way and for you to speak through me and just be able to impact somebody's life forever. Do what only you can do right now. That's what our prayer is. That is what our expectation is right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, who here is thankful for traditions? Come on, anyone thankful for traditions? Yes, Joey up here is thankful for traditions. I love traditions, especially this time of the year, means a lot of traditions are rolling around. I know Friday came about and I got pumped. I woke up with a little more pep in my step. I woke up at 6:30 a.m. It was my day off, but I knew I was going to say, I'm going to take my wife to school. She's a teacher, not a student, praise God. And I took her to school, and I woke up a little early, and I walked into one of my favorite places of all time. And when I walked in, there was legit 60 people there just lying, just wall to wall, just like this. It was, honestly, I've never seen it before in my life. Starbucks coffee, come on, the greatest place of all time. Let's go, because November 2nd rolled around and the Christmas lattes were coming in, the different things, the different cool red cups. I don't know what it is about that red cup, but I want to drink coffee from it. I went to three different Starbucks that day. Not, I didn't get three different drinks at the same Starbucks. I went to one in Bloomington, then I went over to Mall of America, then I went downtown. Three different. I couldn't get enough. I almost did four, but I thought that was too much. I love traditions. I love different traditions involving Christmas. And one of my favorite ones is putting up the Christmas tree. Come on, does anyone here already have their Christmas tree up? Let's go, a few of us. Yes. Ben Cruz has raised his hand, and no, I'm not kidding you. Every single service, he's been the only one that's raised his hand for the three services. So you're not alone in this, Ben, for the 5 p.m. I love putting up the Christmas tree, but for me, and probably for many of you, you put it up after Thanksgiving. Come on, who puts it up after Thanksgiving? Yes, you got to. Come on, I'm trying to focus on Thanksgiving. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. Because I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the most underrated holiday of all time. I used to love Christmas growing up, but then I got less presents. So now I'm like, I want to eat some food. So presents aren't as cool. Food is way better. And so I love Thanksgiving. I want to throw some statistics for you about Thanksgiving. Three statistics. Two of them are not that cool, to be honest with you. I don't know why I'm sharing it, but I will. One of them is really cool. So I'm just leading up to that one. 96% of Americans celebrate Thanksgiving with a meal. Okay. 28% will have more than 12 people at their table. This is the crazy part, okay? I want to just ask for a little participation in this last one. The average cooking time in Thanksgiving, what do you guys think? People that haven't been here, the average cooking time for a Thanksgiving meal, just throw out some numbers. 6 to 10 hours, wow. 4 hours. It is 7 hours that people prepare for a Thanksgiving meal. The average time they actually eat the meal is 16 minutes. Crazy. That's insane. That one blew me away. 7 hours to prepare, 16 minutes, and we're eating it and we're out the door. And that's why we're having this series, Reclaim the Table. We can be at the table for a longer period of time to be around the people we love. But I love traditions, and also I love being thankful and that there's actually a tradition in Thanksgiving. There's a tradition in being thankful. Not the Americanized version of Thanksgiving. There is a tradition in being thankful. And so I'm gonna put on my teacher hat for the next 3 to 5 minutes. So bear with me. I'm gonna talk to you about three terms real quick. And it's about the tradition of being thankful. The first term is TODA. TODA, T-O-D-A-H, TODA. The second term is Passover. The third term is Eucharist, okay? These are the three words that I want you to know by the end of tonight. Pretty easy. The first one, TODA. When you view worship, if someone came up to you and said, hey, can you explain to me what worship looks like? You would probably say something like this. Worship is a group of people, that's a church, that are gathering together and we're singing songs and we're raising our hands and we're lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what you say worship would be. But back in the day, the Israelites, when they say what was worship for you, it is a sacrificial system. And so they viewed worship as a sacrificial system. And one of the sacrifices that the Israelites gave was the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so the reason why they would celebrate the sacrifice of thanksgiving, TODA, was when somebody, an individual or a family, got delivered from something. So they literally would go to the tabernacle and there would be a table set up. And when this family or individual got delivered for something, they would eat at the table together, and that would be a symbol or a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That would be a sign, an act of worship for the Israelites, okay? TODA. In Hebrew, it means sacrifice of thanksgiving. Then you look at the Passover, and the Passover is something when the Israelites got delivered from Egypt. That God spoke to all the Israelites saying, you need to put blood of a sacrificial lamb on the doorpost of your front door. And there was a plague in Egypt that was going to kill the firstborn son of every person. But he said, I'll pass over those that have the blood on the post. So Passover, it means simply when the Israelites got delivered from Egypt. Okay, Eucharist. Eucharist is the Lord's Supper. This is communion. This is what we just celebrated during worship. And the reason I'm telling you those three terms is this, is the disciples in that moment during the Last Supper, they thought they were going to celebrate TODA. They thought it was just simply a sacrifice of thanksgiving. They thought it was just simply a Passover meal. And they weren't celebrating their own deliverance. They were celebrating the deliverance of a generation. They were celebrating when the Israelites got freed from Egypt. And so this is a tradition that was passed on from generation to generation. It was the Passover meal. And so the disciples walked into this moment and they thought this was just going to be another thing. Oh yeah, we've done this before. This is the Passover meal. But then Jesus changes the game. Jesus changes everything because in that moment he says, hey, this is the bread which represents my body that's going to be broken for you. saying, hey, this is the cup that represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. So he said, no longer do you have to look to the past. I'm about to create something new right now. No longer do you have to look to the old covenant. I'm about to create a new covenant. And Jesus is still in the business of doing that. And the first point is this. Jesus can turn tradition into today's Thanksgiving. Jesus can turn tradition into today's Thanksgiving. It's all about expectation versus reality. Many times we have our expectation and then we walk in the reality of what life is. And if we're Christ followers, the fact is this, and it may not be in the timing that you're walking in right now, but our expectation is here, but the reality should be here, that God's going to do far greater than what we expect. It even says it in the scriptures, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That's what the disciples were rocking with. They thought and they expected just another Passover meal. It's just going to be, hey, we've done this before. It's not going to be a big deal. We're just going to walk up. There's going to be another Passover meal. But then Jesus changes the game. He says, no, no, no. You're not just going to celebrate a deliverance for a generation, but you're going to celebrate deliverance of all mankind. Because in a moment, tomorrow, I'm going to walk towards a criminal's death. I lived a perfect life, a life that nobody else could live. And I'm about to walk towards a criminal's death. And on the moment of the cross, we poured into him our failures and our sins. And he poured out righteousness in exchange. He said, no longer do you have to look back and celebrate just when a generation got delivered, but right now is a new covenant and you're about to celebrate the deliverance of all mankind. That God does not view you towards the thing that you've done or the thing that you've said. God views you towards the blood of Jesus. He said, no longer do you have to celebrate when just the Israelites put blood on the doorpost and I passed over and saved a generation. But now you can look towards the blood of Jesus that's going to be shed on the cross. And through that lens, through that blood, I'm going to be able to save all mankind, all who just simply believe and lift up my name. Those who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that I am Jesus, that I am Lord, they will be saved. All past sin, all present sin, all future sin is cleansed in the name of Jesus. He said, no longer do you have to look to the old. I'm about to do something brand new. And I believe that there's people in this place right now that you've had your expectations and it's just tradition. And you almost feel like it's a part of you. You feel like, hey, I've just dealt with this long enough. I'm just going to allow this thing to be a part of who I am because I've dealt with it before, time in and time out. I've dealt with it, and I'm just going to live life like this. People in here have a tradition or generations of anxiety, generations of fear, generations of divorce, generations of dropout, generations of people that aren't doing anything with their life, and you feel like that's just who I am, and today is a new day. You walked in, you thought that it was just going to be another Sunday, but it's about to be a supernatural Sunday, that the tradition no longer exists. He said, no longer do you have to look to the old. I'm about to do something brand new. He proves it in Genesis. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and that it was good. See, where the Spirit of God is hovering, something is about to happen. The earth was formless. It was completely dark. And maybe you feel like you're walking through dark days, but let me remind you of the God we serve, that the entire universe was dark and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And the same Spirit is right here in this place. And just like God formed the earth out of nothing, he's about to form something new in your heart. And for the longest time, you've been praying, God, do something new. God, do something new. But right now is the moment. He's going to do something new. He's going to release something in your life. And just like God formed the earth, how much more is he going to form something new in your life? He's the God that's so big that can form the entire universe, but also he's the God that's so small that says, hey, look at the birds in the sky. I take care of the birds in the sky. How much more am I going to take care of you? He's forming something new in you right now. No longer are we looking towards the old. We get to look towards what God has for us. And this transformation from death to life, from darkness to light, from ashes to beauty, this transformation ought to allow us to walk into Thanksgiving. This transformation should turn into Thanksgiving. That if you're a Christ follower, Jesus doesn't have to do one more thing for us. Why do we live this life thinking that Jesus owes us something? He already died on the cross for me. I have life eternally. It's like I won the double lottery. He said, hey, I'm going to die on the cross for you because I love you so much. And one, you're going to have abundant life here on earth. But two, you're going to have eternal life. And all you got to do is believe in me. I already did the work. I already won the victory. This transformation should lead to a thankful heart. And if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to make that decision, the greatest decision of all time. Let's not focus on tradition. Let's not focus on the old. Let's focus on giving thanks today. Mark 7:13. Thus you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. The traditions of man make the gospel ineffective. Let's not walk in the old. Let's not walk in tradition. Let's grab a hold of what he has new in our lives. Traditions many times is just simply lip service. We're just going through the motions. Matthew 15:8 says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Is Thanksgiving a habit or is it from your heart? I'm like, tomorrow, just see how many times you say thank you. Because it's something we do a lot, but we forget we're even doing it. I do it all, someone opens up the door, someone buys me a coffee, whatever it is, and I say thank you, but I don't even know I'm saying it. Is a thankful heart, is this transformation that leads to a thankful heart, is this just a habit, or is it something that's truly in your heart? We're called to be thankful in every season. I don't know why, but it's so hard to do this. It's so hard. I know it's easier said than done. It's so hard to live a thankful life in everything that we do. I sit in a stoplight for too long and I lose my mind. Someone cuts me off and I'm like yelling. I'm like, man, what am I doing? It's so hard to be thankful in every season, but this is what God has called us to do, is to be thankful in every season. And Jesus actually gives us the model in Matthew 26 of saying, hey, these are the seasons that you're gonna probably walk through and you need to be thankful during these seasons. The first one, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. So the first thing, and every time Jesus talks about bread, whether it's feeding the 5,000 or at the Last Supper, he always does those things. He always first breaks the bread because he knows you're going to walk through broken seasons. And he's saying, can you be thankful in broken seasons? It's easy to be thankful when life's going good. Can you be thankful in broken seasons? And I believe that Jesus can turn brokenness into your breakthrough. Jesus can turn brokenness into your breakthrough. And if you're walking through a broken season, I just want to first remind you that God sees you, that you're not in this alone. The world's telling you you're fighting this by yourself. You're not. There's not one moment that God left you. If you feel distant from God in this moment, he didn't leave. He's been there the whole time. You're not alone. I'll prove it. Psalms 51:16-17. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. God is not allowing this broken season to be your final destination. He is bringing you through. Just hold on. Just have faith. He's bringing you through. Just like he looked at David, King David, and he said, hey, I'm gonna anoint you king one day, but I'm just gonna have you walk through the field. Will you just have faith in me? I'm gonna have you walk through the field, be a shepherd, and I'm gonna anoint you king. He looked at Joseph and he said, hey, I know you're walking through a broken season. I know you're in prison right now, but will you just hold on? Will you just have faith in me? I'm bringing you through because I'm taking you from the prison to the palace. He's looking at Peter and he's saying, hey, I know you're walking through persecution. You're trying to grow the church. I know you're walking through persecution, but can you just for one moment hold on during this broken season? This broken season is not the final destination. I'm bringing you through. And he said, Peter, will you just hold on while you're walking through persecutions? Because I'm about to give you another dose of the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. That everything that you do and everything that you say is going to be more effective, not by your words, not by your mind, but by the Spirit of God. God is bringing us through broken seasons, and broken seasons are not just a means to an end. We live in a culture where almost everything is just a means to an end. We walk and we go to college just so that we can get a job, just so that we can pay for our family, just that we can retire. We go to work on Monday so we can get to Friday. And it's almost, we live in this culture where it's like, hey, yeah, I'm living life, but it's just a means to an end. A broken season is not a means to an end. God wants to take you through it, but before he does, he wants to do something new in your heart. And I believe that's what happens. Two things happen when you're walking through a broken season. Number one is you're allowed to become all that God has created you to be. You become all God has created you to be if you just hold on. And two, God brings you through. First, becoming all God's created you to be. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You're walking through a broken season because God wants you to become all he has for you to become. And after the Last Supper, he walked to a garden. And I always butcher this name, but I want to try. The Garden of Gethsemane. Close. Classic. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. Walking, we'll just call it the garden. Walking to the garden. And he's walking to the garden, and three separate times he tells his disciples, hey, would you just stay there, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to pray to my Heavenly Father. And three separate times he prays, and something like this, hey, will you let this cup of suffering pass from me? Will you let this cup of suffering pass from me? And three separate times God says no. And so Jesus' response is, okay, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He's obedient in that moment. He says, you're the way, you're the truth, and you're the life. There's no other way to salvation except through you. You're going to walk towards a criminal's death. And Jesus says, okay, because I love you so much, speaking to us, because I love them so much, I will walk towards a cross. And I believe that there's people in this place that are walking through the garden, because what that garden means is oil press. And what oil was used was for anointing. And in any press, the more you press down, the more comes up. The more you press down, the more comes up. And I believe that people are walking through that season. Broken seasons are not just a means to an end, because God wants you to stay faithful. And if you just say, hey, not my will be done, but thy will be done, Jesus is going to do something new in your heart. He's going to take your dreams. He's going to take the things that you're walking in. He's going to say, hey, just stay faithful. And I'm going to crush every little thing that does not look like me. I'm going to crush pride in your life. I'm going to crush insecurity in your life. I'm going to crush family issues in your life. I'm going to crush anxiety and depression. And I'm going to just, hey, just stay faithful. I'm going to crush some things in your life that don't look like me, so that the true anointing of God can come upon you. And then you're going to walk with so much security. You're going to walk with so much faith. And you're going to walk in this city of Minneapolis, and people are going to see it from a mile away. They're going to say, hey, there's something different on your life. And you're going, yes, there is. Because I was in a broken season, and actually I'm still in a broken season, but I'm staying faithful, because this broken season is not just a means to an end. God's doing something new in my heart. He's crushing those things that do not look like him, and I believe he has something new for people. Stay faithful during broken season. He's trying to crush those things that don't look like him. My computer died. It's all good. Woo!
Come on. I don't need it. I think I'm good.
My wife's got my back. It's all good. God takes us through seasons. He allows us to walk through the garden so that we can just stay faithful to him. The things in our lives that don't look like him, he wants to crush in our life. He wants us to become all he's called us to become. But two, he wants us to experience breakthrough in this life. I'm going to tell a quick story. Ed and Deb Spiel, missionaries that are out of this campus. Come on, can we just give it up real quick? Ed and Deb, I don't know where they are. They're incredible. They just left last month to go on the mission field, a call that they had a long time ago, but they just stayed faithful. They experienced so many different broken seasons, but they knew it wasn't their final destination. They knew God had something for them. And so they stayed faithful, and now they're serving and they're loving on people that nobody else could reach, but they could reach. So I'm going to tell a quick story about Ed. Ed, about 30 years ago or so, he was driving. He wasn't living for the Lord. He was driving. He got in a car wreck. It was on the 42nd and Pilot Knob. And he said there was the first time and only time in his life where he thought he was dying. He said, I got in a car wreck, and the next thing I know, I was on my back, and there were sirens everywhere, and I thought, this is it. This is it. And praise God, God saved him from that moment. But then 25 years later, he got baptized at the Apple Valley campus. He got baptized as a symbol of his new life in Christ. And as he went down, the old life is gone. The new life is here. And right when he came out of the water, God gave him a word. God gave him a call. And he said, you're going to be one of the 500 missionaries. 25 years later. The reason I'm telling you this is Apple Valley Campus is located on 42nd and Pilot Knob. And it's just a simple fact, but I believe it's a word for somebody here. That the very place the enemy is trying to take you out in is actually the very place that God is going to use you for your greatest ministry. And I don't know what it may look like in your life, but the enemy is trying to take you out. This place 15 years ago was a club, and the enemy was trying to take out the city of Minneapolis and take out souls and take out different things. But then God transformed it and turned it into a church. And since then, over 2,000 people have given their lives to Jesus. What the enemy meant to destroy us, God is using to restore us. Let's just stay faithful to him. And this is the story of my life. I teared up during the 9 a.m. I think I'm good. I got all my tears out. This is a story of my life. I got called when I was 18 years old. And it was a service like this. And I walked in. I felt like God had something for me. And at the end of the message, there was nothing. And I was like, I was a little bit disappointed. Then right when I thought that, the preacher went back up and said, hey, I feel just a stirring that if someone feels like they need to walk into full-time ministry, I want them to know that they're enough. And I want them to know that it's you. And he went through each section saying, is anyone here? Is that to speak to anybody? And that was the biggest God moment of my life. My heart was beating so fast. I literally stood up, and I don't remember thinking, hey, I'm going to stand up now. I stood up and I was like, I'm up. God got a hold of my life the most in that moment because he knew I was going to struggle with this so much. He knew that the enemy was trying to take you out. So pay attention to the moment that God gets a hold of you, because that's most likely going to be the place that you're going to do your greatest ministry. But for the last 7 to 8 years, it's been a constant battle of anxiety, constant battle of just believing the wrong thoughts, constant battle of who do you think you are speaking into people's life. And so often the enemy was trying to take me out, but actually God's going to use that very thing for my greatest ministry. All I had to do is say yes. All I had to do is take a couple steps closer to him. He was going to do all the work. Our job is to give thanks. Our job is to obey. His job is to bring the breakthrough in our lives. What the enemy meant for harm, God means for good. So when you walk through a broken season, we believe that you can become all God's called you to become, but also we believe that you can experience breakthrough in this life. The third and final point is, as I close, someone can come up to play them keys. Drew, come on, give it up for Drew real quick. Come on. Third and final point is, he took the bread and he broke it and then he gave it. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave it. And that's what our lives is. We're not just giving thanks, but we're giving our lives to see this city turned upside down for Jesus Christ. And third point is this, Jesus can turn your thanksgiving into someone else's triumph. Jesus can turn your thanksgiving into somebody else's triumphs. Acts 16, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the earth were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Your praise, your thanksgiving can set somebody else free. The person to your left, the person to your right. So maybe you're not walking through a broken season. And maybe for the last 15 minutes, you just tuned me out because you're just like, life's great. But if you're not walking through a broken season, you're walking through a blessed season, it's time to start praising Jesus Christ and believing for breakthrough in your neighbor's life, because they need it. They desperately need it. Your praise, your thanksgiving can set somebody else free. So please do not lose hope in family situations. Please do not lose hope in your girlfriend or boyfriend or your fiance or just your coworker or whatever it is. Don't lose hope. Your thanksgiving, your praise can set them free. We're not just giving thanks, we're giving our lives. Romans 12, I'll close with this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Give your life to see other people know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is the call that we have as a church. This is the call that we have as Christ followers, is to give our lives. And yes, sometimes it may feel like there's a cost to it, but it's going to be so worth it one day when you see so many people walking up to you. And it may just be a person you just simply interacted with on this earth, or maybe it's somebody that you've never met on the other side of the earth. But because you gave your life, because you gave money, because you gave your gifts, because you gave different things, those people's lives are going to be changed. Let's give our lives. I want to ask you a few questions about giving our lives. Your ears, whose word carries the most weight in your life? The Lord, what it means is the person that has authority. And for me, that word authority means the person that their words carry the most weight in my life. Whose words carry the most weight in my life? Is it the Lord and broken, lost people, or is it your insecurities? Your ears, are you offering your ears as a living sacrifice? Your hands, what are you building that will last tomorrow? What are you building that's going to last eternity and not going to fade away? What are you doing to build the kingdom of God today? Your hands, your heart, how are you loving those right in front of you? How are you loving people? Offer your heart as a living sacrifice. Your eyes, who are you missing? Who are you missing? Let's live life that we don't miss the people that are in front of us. Let's live life that we're on our way. We're not just so focused from going to table to table that we focus and realize, yes, we live a life that we're on our way, but let's reach people in our way while we're on our way. Come on, let's let our focus be people. Let's every single morning, let's wake up and say, God, who do you want me to see today? Who do you want me to love today? Come on, let's live, be a church that does these things, because I think so often the analogy I'll give is this. So often we go to missions trips or we go to third world countries and we physically see the need. And we don't even have to go across the world to physically see the need. You can go outside and see, physically see the need. You can physically see those that are dying. You can physically see those that are malnourished. You can physically see those that are diseased. But God calls us to a different level. He calls us to spiritually see those people. He says, will you just stay faithful to me? Will you just lock in on my relationship and let your focus be solely on me? And when you do that, I'm going to give you spiritual eyes so that you see the broken, lost people. When's the last time you stayed up at night because you couldn't go to bed because you knew people in this city were dying and going to hell, and you're like, I'm going to do something about it? God wants us to be so focused on him that we have the spiritual eyes so that we can see this city flipped upside down, that every single person in this city knows that there's a God that is living, that knows that there's a God that cares for them, that knows that there's a God that loves them, that knows that there's a God that died on the cross for them. That's the mission that we have, to not only give thanks, but let's give our lives. And with every head bowed and every eyes closed, it's 6:13, we're gonna close out this service. And I just want to pray for two types of people in this place. No one looking around. I just want to pray for those people that are walking through a broken season, saying, this is a tough season. I'm going to be honest. Would you just lift up your hand right now? Several hands going up in this place. We keep them up just for 1 second. Those who maybe are walking through a blessed season, but you're praying for breakthrough in your neighbor's life, can you lift up your hand? Wow. Almost every hand raised in this place. Jesus, we just pray right now that you do what only you can do. Let's not believe in tradition. Let's not believe in the old. And yes, you have us in these broken seasons for a reason. Our friends and our family are in these broken seasons for a reason. And we believe that you're producing something in them. That you're producing something in them that looks like you. But I pray right now, I know I don't have any authority, but I pray right now in the name of Jesus that heaven comes down, and we're able to see healing in this place. People that have physical just problems in their life, I pray that you heal them in the name of Jesus. People that are walking with anxiety as if it's a weight on their shoulder, I pray that it's lifted up right now in the name of Jesus. I no longer do they have to walk through broken seasons anymore. Those that are dealing with depression, I pray that you give them so much joy that they don't even know what to do with it. I pray right now, we're not praying for tomorrow. We're not praying for next week. We're not praying for next year. This is not just a tradition that we're going to accept and walk in. We're going to pray for breakthrough in people's lives. And we accept and we believe and we proclaim those same things for people that are walking through good seasons, but they're praying for their friend. We believe these things, Jesus.